Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're really excited to welcome Kevin Harlan of Westwood One, CBS, TNT, from Dallas, where he landed not that long ago after calling the Patriots-Broncos game in New England on Sunday afternoon. Excited to have a couple of minutes with Kevin for the first time this season. And Kevin, these are such unpredictable and unprecedented circumstances. We say that all the time. The Patriots go through roughly 2 weeks. They only have one practice in person because of COVID protocols. And then we get this game against Denver that is a festival of field goals. How much did it appear to you like the Patriots were out of sync?
Oh, they clearly were, Amy. And we knew they were going to have some issues. I think Bill Belichick even knew during the week. I mean, he had never coached anything like this. None of these coaches have, but in particular Bill, who only had one full practice and then a walkthrough on Saturday, and that was even tempered. We went into the weekend uncertain if the game was even going to be played because
right.
another couple linemen tested positive. So, I mean, you know, they made a switch at halftime. They switched two guys at halftime. They had guys in completely different positions this week than last. They were down, you know, Andrews is the center. He's gone. And Shaq Mason is gone. And Ferentz is gone. And they lost to Luminor today. He was a starter. So I don't know how they were even able to operate, to be quite honest. And I said this to Trent Green, my partner on CBS today. I said, you know, this really gives credence to the importance of practice. You need to practice. You've got to get timing. You've got to be in that state where you're into the playbook, into the plays, in practice, focused on the game all week long. You can't just hodgepodge your way through a week and expect to play. Even a team with the culture and the definition of the New England Patriots, and it showed today. So the messages and the things learned out of this pandemic and COVID cases and testing and quarantining, Amy, are immense, and they're going to carry from this point forward. Other teams are watching every other team with great interest in trying to learn what they're doing or what they're not doing and trying to avoid or embrace. It is literally hour to hour in this league right now.
And yet I like the way that Vic Fangio put it, and it's fitting, of course, because the Broncos were waiting to find out if there would be a game. He said these types of delays and changes, this adversity, it separates the bitchers and the complainers and the whiners.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want our team to be like that. And so, I mean, it takes six field goals, but they come away with a win.
They come away with the win and a quarterback who had missed a couple games, and he probably wasn't as sharp as he wanted to be. But what stood out about the Broncos today with Drew Lock, their quarterback out of Missouri, just in his second year, he ended last year 4-1. And Elway, I think, in drafting him, thought this may be the guy. He was probably pretty sure he was the guy at the end of last year. And then he got hurt in the Pittsburgh game earlier, hurt his shoulder, sat out, came back in Foxborough. And regardless of what he was going to face in the Patriots, it's still the road. It's still the New England Patriots, and it's still Bill Belichick and his defense. And they attacked him. Denver did not blink today whatsoever. Now, here's the thing. They have been practicing in Denver over the last 2 weeks waiting for this game because, you know, they had no COVID tests.
Right.
They had no positive results. And so they were able to keep the facility open and practice, and that's something that New England could not do. So the more competent team, the more focused team perhaps was Denver, and they came out of it with a win. Ugly game, but they won nonetheless, and this probably saved the first part of their season. Had they lost today against a team like Kansas City and maybe even an expanding Raiders team, it would have been tough in that division. So what they've done is they've checked the box for the first, you know, quarter of the season, and they said, we are legitimate. We've got a chance.
Mm. Kevin Harlan called the game on CBS on Sunday and then made the trip to Dallas for Monday Night Football in Westwood One, the Cowboys and the Cardinals, and it's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Dallas had its season take a sudden and abrupt turn, of course, with the loss of Dak Prescott, and now they've got Andy Dalton, and it's a completely different situation for Mike McCarthy. So as you are prepping and getting ready, I mean, it's a good thing you have a quarterback alongside you, huh?
Well, he knows quarterbacking. Kurt Warner has been down this road. He knows what it's like to take the place of a starter. He knows what injuries are like. I mean, he knows every part from A to Z, tip to tail. He's been through it. He's done it. And to be quite honest, Dallas is probably just thinking they're lucky stars that they went out and were aggressive enough and signed Dalton,
sure.
Texas kid, played at TCU. You know, he had the 10 years up in Cincinnati. And for Andy, I think this is a nice landing spot. But for the Cowboys, how lucky are they to get a veteran quarterback who has, you know, good big game experience, playoff experience, and wanted to play here and knew his role coming in. And sure enough, here he is in basically the beginning of the season, taking a hold of this very powerful, you know, high energy offense of the Cowboys. So I don't think Dallas is going to blink. I think they're going to just continue to go out. They hate to lose Dak. Dak was off to a terrific start. His numbers were, you know, out of sight. But, you know, he's not here, and Dalton is, and it was worth the money they spent to sign him and not let him get to any other team. And this is why you get the good backups on a good team. You don't want to miss a beat. And the Cowboys feel they won't with Andy Dalton.
So the Dallas Cowboys are allowing fans at AT&T Stadium, and we've seen their crowds kind of increase. But, Kevin, you were in the NBA bubble for five-plus weeks. You've done games in stadiums with no fans. What's stranger, an NBA arena without any spectators or an NFL stadium?
Well, the NFL stadium by far. In the NBA bubble in Orlando, every inch of that little arena was covered with either scoreboards or video boards or lights or all kinds of stuff. It was like a gigantic TV studio, and every inch was accounted for. So it felt full with the virtual screens and all the other things that the NBA, you know, just magically put together. And the NFL is, you know, so empty, and it really is. In fact, I'll be honest, and I was talking about this with someone the other day, it almost is getting, you know, more noticeable the longer the season goes on. When we first began, you know, you're excited that the season's even kicking off.
Yes.
And sure enough, it did. You know, now we're 5-6 weeks into the season, and it's beginning to really, you know, kind of, I think, affect people. I don't think it's affecting the players, but they do miss the emotion. I know as a broadcaster, you look around and you feed off of that, and it becomes like the background of a picture. A picture is only great with a great background, and a singer is only great with a great orchestra. Well, a broadcast really has more oomph when they've got, you know, the crowd and the roar of the crowd in the back of a call, and they serve as that symphony, that background, and you need them, and we don't have them, and it's just weird, and it just does not feel the same, and
right.
It's almost getting worse as the season's going on, just personally. I mean, I miss it more and more each and every week.
And yet Dallas, those fans actually make some noise because, and
yes,
I guess it
do.
Was most noticeable, right, when after, so the real contrast was Dak Prescott catching a touchdown late in the first half of week number 5. And then, of course, what, 30 minutes of actual time later, the fans go completely silent when he breaks his ankle. And so maybe there you'll feel some of that come Monday night.
Yeah, they're going to have 25,000 Monday night.
Wow.
Against the Cardinals. And the Cardinals are, you know, a 3-2 team, and they've got an explosive offense. And they're kind of, I think they've turned the corner. They've got some playmakers. They've got some speed. And they feel they've got the quarterback and a very smart coach calling plays. So that's a tough team coming in Dallas. And the Cowboys, you know, have been lights out with offense and just been god-awful with their defense. So that's their problem. And then you've got the 25,000 fans, which are right now the most in the NFL, although I think the Dolphins are going to work on that because I think they just kind of cleared the way for more fans to go in Hard Rock Stadium. So it's changing a little bit. I see Denver next week is going to allow more fans. Kansas City has allowed 17, 18, 19,000 fans. Bit by bit, I think we're going to approach some numbers that will make it at least feel somewhat normal with the crowd and with the presence of what passionate fans can do for the home team. And just make it just feel a little bit more normal, I think, when they're in the seats.
For sure. Kevin Harlan with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You've seen a bunch of teams already into week number six. And what's impressed me about the season is not only that teams are so bunched up. I mean, it's a topsy-turvy kind of a year. But also, there are some really impressive defenses out there. So Pittsburgh, I know you've seen Chicago. And as much as they've made their quarterback change, their defense is the MVP. Even the Buccaneers, yes, they've got Tom Brady, but man, that defense bails them out a bunch. So what defenses have you seen that impress you?
Well, you mentioned Tampa Bay, and I saw them in Chicago at Soldier Field last week, and Lavonte David, they got some nice players. They lost a big defensive lineman in that Chicago game, and that's going to hurt them a little bit. But overall, the Tampa Bay defense is strong, Chicago's defense is strong, and Khalil Mack is kind of back to what he was a couple years ago when the Raiders traded him to Chicago. You're seeing some defenses that have been impressive. You're also seeing defenses that are just pitiful, and Dallas is one of them, as I mentioned before. So you know, it's been a strange season, I think, almost, Amy, in every way. And I don't know if the lack of preseason games and preseason hitting and all the things that happened during the offseason and OTAs, the accumulation of all of that is still affecting the game. I'd like to think by, say, November 1st, we're beyond all the issues. We have more normalcy on the field. Maybe things have flattened a little bit. Offenses are a little bit more equal to the defenses. And the other thing that I've noticed, too, is the officiating, because it looks like they're being a little bit more lenient on some plays,
yes,
than in the past they haven't been. And I think it's making for a faster game. A less stop and start game, and the flow is better. I feel it in the booth. I think they feel it on the field. And this, again, you know, out of every issue, out of every challenge, whether it's in sports or life, there's always something that evolves and emerges and comes out of it that you can say, well, because of this, that happened. And so I think, you know, we could see, you know, maybe a little bit of altering in the way games are called on the field. We're going to see probably some different ways to train and to conduct, you know, off-season conditioning, off-season meetings. I think there's a world of things that will emerge out of this. Uncomfortable now as you learn to grow into them.
Right.
But eventually will be incorporated into how the NFL and all the sports, NBA and all the others, will work from this point forward.
Hindsight is 2020, and we have the benefit now of seeing both the NHL and the NBA and what they did in their respective bubbles. Baseball has managed to kind of set up these pseudo bubbles, and they're into their World Series now. NFL is obviously early and kind of dealing with some obstacles and hurdles. But going back to your time in the bubble in Orlando, Kevin, what impressed you the most about the way that the NBA pulled that off?
Well, everything. I mean, the one thing they could not account for that they tried to help was just the mental hygiene of the players, you know, not being with families, not being with loved ones for the most part, being in a place where they couldn't get in a car and drive. They were in an area that had limitations. Mm. They saw a lot of one another. I mean, it was a lot of, you know, a lot of team. And so, you know, out of that, I think there were some players that dealt with it well and were more focused. I think LeBron was one of them. And I think there are other players that perhaps struggled and did not react well to it. And teams did not react well to it. Milwaukee, I think, was one of them. Now, on top of all that were all the social issues that were going on, and they weighed heavily on these kids' minds. And so that just added to the mental side of it. Physically, you know, they didn't have to travel. They slept in the same bed. They got used to the food. You know, and it was like a laboratory. It was like an environment that was the same for all the teams. And so I always felt that out of that, you know, with certainly a regard to the mental side of it, but we're going to get true champions out of this. We're going to get the best teams. They're not dealing with a vicious crowd on the road, a weird travel schedule or whatever. It's the same for all the teams. They're all in the same kind of hotel, same kind of food, same kind of activities. Everything's the same. It's like a laboratory. And sure enough, we saw some teams really rise, like Denver and Miami. And then we saw a team like the Lakers, who everybody thought was the best, turn out to be the best. But what's impressive is just how Adam Silver, just and the group he has that works with him in New York, how they think outside the box, how they leave all things open for discussion. They are always finding new ways to better what they have, to tweak what they need to, and to improve where there's a deficiency. And so they never rested on this is the way it's going to be for the next. You know, they were constantly evolving with the presentation, whether it was a new floor, whether it was more virtual fans, whether it was music, whether it was more crowd noise, whatever it was, they were always fine-tuning and attention to detail. And sometimes it was the smallest little detail that mattered. And that's going to, you know, that's Adam Silver. I mean, that's the NBA. They got it. The players bought in. They bought into the bubble. Now, the NFL, as they go through this season, and as we get down now to the, you know, to the playoffs in late December, January, they may decide, you know what, we're going to bubble our teams too. We're going to have a couple locations. We're going to have teams stay in hotels for the week. You'll stay for 2 weeks if you win, and you'll continue that way. And I do think that the NCAA tournament, and I heard this over the weekend, they're thinking about now, four big pods and putting a lot of teams, say like in Indianapolis, where you could play in the home of the Colts and in the home of the Pacers. In Houston, you could play where the Texans play, and you could put teams where the Rockets play. You could really, you know, bubble these different things so the COVID cases are held to a minimum, the safety and the health of the players and the staff is always recognized, and they get the games off in a pandemic.
It's become a verb, bubble. You bubble up.
Yeah.
I like that. So before I let you go, one more question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
There are some people who say that because of everything that's happened in 2020 and because everything's so out of the ordinary and off the beaten path, that all of these championships or even these seasons deserve an asterisk. You're going to have a taste of so many of these different sports. What's your response to that, Kevin?
Well, I don't know how you're ever going to forget this because it was so unusual. The NFL is traveling. Baseball did travel. Hockey was bubbleized, and the NBA was put in a bubble. we missed the fans, and there was kind of a sterile environment. Now, stadiums have done a good job here in Foxborough today on the Sunday in the game we did, you know, this afternoon. They're pumping in music, and they've got, you know, the scoreboard showing things that if the fans were there, they would play. So they're trying to make it as normal for the players as possible. But the bottom line is, it's going to be different. Now, I would look at an asterisk like if they did not play a 16-game NFL schedule and they played 14 or they played 12. The NBA will have an asterisk because they played less regular season games and they had a play-in thing. And so they changed the format a little bit. And so that will make it structurally different. Right now, the NFL is not structurally different.
Right.
Right now, the NFL is in its season, traveling teams, playing basically on the day they were scheduled, and we're just going to have to wait week to week and see how this transpires. NBA asterisk, NHL asterisk, baseball asterisk, and right now, the NFL probably is saying, we're going full steam ahead unless we have a disruption and we play fewer than 16. Mm. Otherwise, it'll be in the record books, and that's what we're going to have.
But make no plans for February because the Super Bowl could get pushed back, and everybody's just going to have to wait on the NFL. So Kevin Harlan, you'll hear him on Westwood One on Monday evening doing the Cowboys and the Cardinals and some real fans there at AT&T Stadium. Of course, he's on CBS, and you hear him on TNT as well. It's always good to catch up with you, Kevin. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Big fan of yours, Amy. Thank you so much. Always great to visit with you. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.